Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joe Fry. My wife Becky and I have been members here at Crossbridge for almost 10 years. And in that time, I've been able to be involved in several different roles. I've served as an elder here at Crossbridge. I've helped set up curtains and run the soundboard on Sunday mornings. More recently, I've been involved with the third through fifth graders teaching at KidWorks, and I enjoy having that opportunity to invest in your kids and teach them, and now I'm excited that I get to speak to you on a Sunday morning. I'm also excited because this is just an exciting time of year. How many of you enjoy the Christmas season? All right. How many of you are really stressed out that there's only 12 days to go? How many of you, it doesn't really feel like Christmas because we're wearing short sleeves and it's 60 degrees out? I personally enjoy the Advent season. As a parent of four children, ages 10 down to 2, right now there is a lot of excitement in the house. There's anticipation, and this year has been a bit more hectic than past years. But Becky and I try our best to make Christmas more than just one furious hour of tearing open presents. We've tried to introduce different traditions or different activities that we take part in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Our goal is to create some lasting memories. And I admit that that sounds really cheesy, but I'm a sentimental type. I can remember a variety of traditions that my family had during Christmas time as I was growing up. We used to light the Advent wreath, and we always participated in a candlelight Christmas Eve service. When decorating our Christmas tree, I can remember my older sister and I fighting over who would get to hang up certain ornaments and where they had to be placed on the tree. One of the things that I also always associated with Christmas was trips to Staten Island to visit my aunt and my two cousins. Year after year, this happened until it abruptly stopped by the time I was in sixth grade. Trips to my aunts were replaced with trips to what I call my pseudo aunts and uncles. You know what I mean, those people who are close family friends. You're not related to them, but you still call them aunt and uncle. Does anyone else have pseudo relatives? Okay, I'm not alone. Trips to my Aunt Nancy's and Uncle Bill's were fun, but what happened to my actual family? I won't go into all the details, but you might be able to guess what happened, and I'm sure that many of you can relate. There was a misunderstanding, followed by a foolish argument, followed by hurt feelings, and then there was another even more foolish argument, unaccepted apologies, and ultimately broken relationships. Brother and sister, parent and child, the effects are still lingering in my extended family to this day. The original source of the problem may have been silly, but without forgiveness, the hurt festered and the relationships dissolved. Family drama often goes hand in hand with the holidays. Unfortunately, it's just another thing that causes us to lose focus on Christmas. But Christmas and what it represents can bring healing to this very issue. Now, while I want all of you to have peaceful family gatherings at the holidays, I want to talk about a relationship of greater significance. I believe that the most significant relationship that you can have is a personal relationship with Jesus. And our relationship with Jesus is what allows us to have healthy relationships with others. Today, as we continue our Love Revealed series, I would like to talk about how God's love revealed through the gift of Jesus can transform us into forgiven and forgiving people. Forgiven and forgiving. And that's important because all of us will face times when we need to seek forgiveness as well as offer it to others. We'll see this morning how loving forgiveness can make relationships with God and others possible. How about we start by taking a look at some aspects of forgiveness that we see in the Christmas story? We can find that story in the book of Matthew. Matthew will be about 3/4 of the way through your Bible. It is the first book of the New Testament, the first of the four Gospels, the books that tell us the story of Jesus. Interestingly, though, only two of the four Gospels tell the story of Jesus' birth. Luke, from Mary's perspective, and then Matthew tells the story from Joseph's. So we'll take a look at Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. The verses should be on the overhead for you, the slide. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Maybe this is the first or the 101st time you've heard this reading. If you grew up in the church like I did, passages like this can become rather familiar. And when things become familiar, we lose sight of the supernatural, and perhaps we even tune out what God might be trying to say to us. If you're hearing this for the first time, this account may sound too fantastic to believe. I mean, think about what's described here. There's a miraculous conception. There's angels appearing in dreams. There's prophecies being fulfilled, God promising to save his people. Mix those supernatural things with the tangle of human emotions. We see fear, anger, shame, disappointment. The picture is a lot more complex than the smiling, happy faces that we see in manger scenes or on Christmas cards. The story even touches on some of the family dynamics that we've already talked about. Joseph was ready to leave Mary. His feelings were hurt, his expectations about marriage thrown out the window. A marriage relationship and a family was almost broken before it ever began. Taking a fresh look at this passage, I'm impressed with Joseph. Joseph shows a tremendous amount of trust in God. His trust is greater than any fears of embarrassment or social stigma. An angel in a dream convinces him not to leave Mary. A dream? I can barely remember some of my dreams, but somehow Joseph knew that this message was truly from God. Wouldn't we like to know when or how God is speaking to us? Wouldn't we like to be bold enough to act on it? Now, it's important that Joseph believed and acted on this dream. This baby would serve a great role in God's plan, and even the name Jesus was part of God's design. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. The message from the angel states that Jesus will save his people from their sins. But what is sin? Sin is one of those real churchy words. The word literally refers to missing a target or missing the mark. And that target is perfection. We are told to be holy because God is holy. Falling short of that target is something that we can all admit to. We've all messed up. Sin is a universal problem. The Apostle Paul describes it this way. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A few chapters later in the book of Romans, we read, the wages of sin is death. We all fall short of God's perfect standard, and our sin becomes a barrier that separates us from God. The result is spiritual death. Our sin has earned us an eternity without God. We need to be forgiven. We need our relationship with God to be restored, and that is where Jesus enters the scene. Something had to be done. And I like how that something is described by Peter, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He writes, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." 1 Peter 3:18. Jesus suffered for our sins. He was put to death on the cross as a sacrifice for those sins. The righteous taking the penalty for the unrighteous. The unrighteous being us. What is described here is a very costly forgiveness. Contrast that with the language that we often use today in the context of forgiveness. Many times, in response to an apology, what do we say? It's okay. Don't worry about it. No big deal. The intention is to accept the apology. However, these words can actually dismiss the action. If an apology is necessary, then there is something wrong to forgive. To forgive can be defined as to stop feeling anger toward, to pardon, or to stop requiring payment for a debt that is owed. Forgiveness assumes that there was a wrong action, something to feel angry over, something requiring a pardon. God doesn't just dismiss our sin as no big deal. It was so much of a big deal that God had to act. God's justice demanded that someone pay the debt that was owed. And he acted through Jesus. In the birth of Jesus, God shows a type of forgiveness that blends judgment with love. The saving and forgiving act of God in Christ is not a dismissal of human sin. Quite the opposite. It's a declaration of human sin. It's a judgment against sin. It states that human beings need to be saved from our sin. And God doesn't just condemn us and leave us in our sin. No. He reveals his love by intervening. As you consider God's judgment and forgiveness of sin, it can spark numerous questions. Why did Jesus have to come on Christmas? You know, what is this all about? And if this is really true, did Jesus really have to die? For those of you wrestling with some of those thoughts, please know that you are not alone. I know that because conversations like this seem to be following me around a lot lately, whether it's over lunch with a coworker or just chatting with a neighbor or friend. I've been hearing a lot of these questions. And if that's where you are right now, just know that I love having those kind of talks. So does Pastor Jimmy. Any of the elders here would be happy to listen to you, to hear your questions, try to provide some answers. But for now, I want to try to boil down all those complex thoughts, those complex questions, into a single word: relationship. God wanted to restore his relationship with his creation, so he came to be with us in Jesus. Jesus is not simply an act of God, but God himself coming to be with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. This is what Pastor Jimmy is going to be sharing with us on Christmas Eve. But notice how I said restore relationship. Being in relationship with God is what we were created for, and how things were always supposed to be. All throughout the Bible, we see God in relationship with his creation. Before sin entered the world, Adam walked with God in the garden. Hundreds of years later, Abraham is chosen and called by God, and Abraham is described as God's friend. Joseph recognized God's plan in his life and kept hope even through the hard times. Moses speaks with God, sees God's power on display, and the course of his life is forever changed. King David is described as a man after God's own heart. And we see in his poems and his writings, we see him describe a love towards a powerful yet personal God. People were made to have a connection with God. Throughout the Bible, we see examples of people trusting in God, knowing that he is at work in their lives through good and bad situations. We see God hearing and responding to prayers. Today, the Holy Spirit leads and guides and equips the followers of Jesus. We have an invitation to be called God's people, his children, his sheep, a part of his body. And it all begins with receiving God's forgiveness. And to do that, we need to recognize that we need to be forgiven, that our sin, our mistakes, have separated us from God's love, and we can do nothing to earn his love or restore that relationship on our own. A restored relationship is only possible because of Jesus' birth that we celebrate on Christmas and his death and resurrection that we remember during the Easter holidays. Jesus paid the price for our debt. We need to accept that forgiveness and the relationship that he offers us. But just as Joseph intended to set Mary aside and to divorce her and the unborn baby within her, we can reject the relationship that God offers. Many people today persist in rejecting Jesus. They fail to receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers. Perhaps more egregious, though, we talk about God's forgiveness for our sins, but we don't show forgiveness to others. God does not want to just restore our relationship with him. He wants to restore our relationship with others, too. We were made to live in relationship with God and each other. Now, I'm not going to spend a ton of time today talking about that aspect of forgiveness. Earlier this fall in our Relationship Toolbox series, Ken gave a very passionate message about the hammer and the need for forgiveness in relationships with others. I would encourage you to go online and give that sermon a listen, perhaps a second or third listen. Since relationships will always be part of our lives, this message of forgiveness is something that we constantly need to hear again and remind ourselves of. But for a quick review, let's take a look at two specific passages of Scripture, both written by the Apostle Paul, that focus on forgiving others. First, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And let's also look at Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. These two passages clearly state that the forgiveness we receive from God needs to be extended to others. If we cannot show the same measure of forgiveness that God has shown us, we're disobeying him, and his love is not flowing through us. We're being hypocritical. But this is not an easy task. God's forgiveness is at a supernatural level. Listen to how King David describes the extent of God's forgiveness in Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The prophet Micah echoes this. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. This is the type of forgiveness that I need, that I crave to receive. God hasn't just forgiven my sin. You know, he's removed it. He's trampled on it. He's thrown it into the deep. That fills me with great hope. But this is a high standard to match. I don't know if anyone has really let me down in the same way that I have God. I hope that I haven't wronged anyone to that same degree. But in reality, I know that it is not the severity of my sins that matter. All sin breaks relationships. I need to be forgiven and forgiving in order to have God help restore my relationship with others. So how are your relationships right now? Is there a friend or family member that has wronged you? Is there someone that you just can't seem to forgive? Do you need to ask forgiveness for something that you've done or for a grudge that you've held on to for years? Is there an individual that you just haven't been able to reconcile things with? Maybe it's their fault. Maybe the fault lies with you. But either way, it's up to us to ask for and to give forgiveness. Some of you might be feeling a little bit uncomfortable with my remarks. I don't know each of your stories or the pain that you've endured. Forgiveness and healing may take a lot of time. I know it can, because I'm still praying for forgiveness to prevail in the relationships in my extended family. We also need to remember that our forgiveness of others is not contingent upon their response to us. Maybe they're not sorry for what happened. Perhaps they don't even remember the offense. It doesn't matter. God calls us to forgive. Listen to Paul's advice from Ephesians chapter 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That last phrase jumps out at me. Make every effort. Am I making every effort in the area of forgiveness? On a personal level, I recently caused some hurt feelings in a friendship that I value. If I had remained unaware or unrepentant, a barrier would have formed in that relationship. There would have been an awkwardness until the matter was discussed and settled. It would have impacted our presence in each other's lives. The fact that we can now talk and hang out again is because of the forgiveness that I was given. A relationship was restored once again through forgiveness. Just as unforgiveness can hurt your relationship with others, it will also hinder your relationship with God. And maybe that is the one that seems a little bit more difficult to fix. How is your relationship with God? Has God seemed more distant? Are you spending time with Him daily, reading His Word, allowing His Holy Spirit to guide you? God's presence in our lives indicates a right standing with Him. The forgiveness of sin removes the barrier to God. We are able to enjoy that connection with Him. Holding on to sin damages that relationship. We only need to be forgiven once to be restored and to receive the hope of living with Him in heaven one day. But to keep our relationship with God growing, we need to keep connected with Him daily. And this entails asking forgiveness after we sin and trying to keep in step with His Holy Spirit. And there is no better time to start restoring relationships than as we prepare to celebrate Jesus' coming this Advent. So in honor of the Christmas season, I will leave you with two words: receive and give. For some of you, one verb may be more challenging than the other. Receive God's forgiveness. You can have the relationship with God that you were created to have because of the gift of Jesus. Give. Give that same forgiveness to others. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. For the sake of those relationships, for the sake of your relationship with God, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Restored, healthy relationships need forgiven and forgiving people. Imagine the impact that forgiveness can have in your life, in your family. Imagine the impact that we can have together as a church if Crossbridge was filled with people who made every effort to show forgiveness. Imagine how God's love could be revealed throughout our community. Today, we will end our time with communion. In Advent, we see God's plan of forgiveness and restoration through the birth of Jesus. God didn't simply dismiss our sins. Someone had to take the penalty for them. As we read earlier, Christ suffered once for our sins to bring us to God. And communion is all about remembering. Remembering that the body of Jesus was broken, that his blood was shed to restore a relationship with him. When Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples, he took the cup and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus' name means "the Lord saves." Let's remember together how Jesus is able to save us from our sin. As the music team comes up and the men come forward to distribute the elements, let me ask, have you received the gift of forgiveness that God offers you through Jesus? Do you have anyone that you need to ask forgiveness of? Anyone you need to forgive? I challenge you not to let this Advent season pass without taking the steps you need to so that you can restore your relationships with God and others. If you have received the gift of God's forgiveness, if you are a follower of Jesus, then please take these elements as they pass by and join me in sharing them together after all have received them. If you are not yet at that point in your spiritual journey and still have questions about God's great gift of forgiveness, please let them pass you by. Don't feel any pressure to participate. Let's all use this time to remember and to ask God to reveal the truth about himself to us and about any areas where we still need forgiveness in our lives.